Hello, and welcome to the Atheist Podcast. If you want to have an open and honest discussion where your opinion will not be judged, you have come to the right place. I'm Jonathan, and we will be discussing beliefs, non-beliefs, and any questions dealing with religions. My co-hosts are George, John, along with our intrepid producer, Robert. And we are the Atheist Podcast.
And welcome to the Atheist Podcast. Tonight, we actually have a guest host. We have Joe on the line with us tonight. He's going to be doing our Bible readings for us. I have George with me, and of course, I'm Jonathan. And somewhere lurking in the background is Robert. So, hey, how's it going, Joe?
It's going well, thank you. You know, just moving along every day, praising the Lord.
It's good to have you with us, man.
Oh, sorry. Good to be here.
Give us a short rundown of your background.
Well, you know, really quickly, I am also, you know, another podcaster. I run the Reverend Meadows Show. On my own channel, I own a clothing line. I'm a graphic designer, actor, special effects and prop artist, polyglot. I'm just really all over the place. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. You know, so right there in the Bible Belt. So, you know, my exposure to religion was very early, coming from a somewhat, you know, traditional Southern religious home. I just sort of never believed in it. And so, you know, as I got older, discovering what atheism was, and discovering that I, by default, was already an atheist, you know, it was great. But, you know, that's just a short background about me.
Okay. Well, you already know a little bit about John, in the pre-discussion. And then the creepy person in the background, Robert, you know a little bit about him too, so
Robert is Illuminati.
You shouldn't speak those words.
So. You're not supposed to say that.
No.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. The black helicopters. No. No. Oh God. No. Okay, you already know the format there. You're going to be our reader for the evening, so where did we leave off there, John? It was Genesis 20?
Yeah, we'd be starting at Genesis 20.
Okay.
Tonight.
If you wouldn't mind, read us a couple of verses there, Joe.
Yeah, right down to the end of the paragraph, right through 23.
Works for me. 23?
Already sounds good. Then God said, "Let waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which water swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the water and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." There was evening, and there was morning on the fifth day.
Now, one question. I know you're not a creationist in, like, the Ken Ham version of creationist, John. Explain kinds.
Kinds, I was actually just thinking that. Because I remember that language being up when it was discussing the vegetation. Kinds, as best I could tell, would be things that are one such beget others of the same kind. So humans beget humans, dogs beget dogs, sea monsters beget sea monsters. You see what I'm saying? Like, so you don't have one species giving way to others.
But you wouldn't be averse to, you know, like mammals. Mammals are mammals, right?
I don't think so. What do you mean exactly?
Well, I was just playing with my cat and my dogs not too long ago, and I can actually see, to me, being a fellow mammal, that I can see emotions go across them, you know, across their faces, and I can see the way they react. And I don't really see much difference whenever I have to tell my dog to, you know, sit, you know, sit. And then you can see the emotion go across their face. Oh, I messed up. And I can do the same thing with my cat, you know, no, don't do that. Or come here, give me some love. I can see in their faces those emotions. I think all mammals, well, I can't say all mammals because I don't know about, you know, seafaring mammals, but I've seen that in dogs and cats, horses, you know, cows. I've experienced that in my life. How does that come into effect? I don't know.
I, assuming you're asking me about what's the word I'm looking for?
Anthropic.
It wouldn't be like similar. I suppose that there are kinds of animals as far as kinds. They do seem to have similar traits. So mammals generally have these emotionalistic qualities that it seems as though they do exhibit some sort of emotion. You know, birds maybe less than mammals, and reptiles not at all, and you know, insects the same, you know, not at all. So I don't know how necessarily to explain it on a religious level. I don't think that has any religious significance as far as I can tell.
Well, I'm not trying to.
That's what you're asking.
No, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. It's just like I said.
No, I don't mind being on the spot. I just want to make sure I'm answering the question you're asking.
I don't think that you can. You know.
Okay.
I'll be honest. You know, I don't. I honestly, like I said, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I don't think that you can answer the question. It's just, you know, every mammal that we seem to come across has the sense, whenever you interact with them, has the sense that they feel, you know. And I'm not trying to say that they have a soul in the sense that you believe in it, but they just seem to feel, you know.
Right. And do you think that when you were asking me that, were you asking me, you know, as according to my worldview? Like, where does that play into my worldview? Or how do I explain it through my worldview? Is that what?
All of it.
Oh, okay. Well,
everything you just said, that's what I was asking.
Yeah. No, I don't think that has any bearing or significance. You know, God, as you're making kinds, I mean, animals were made with a purpose. You know, part of the purpose that mammals do serve is human companionship. We need companionship. We were made for companionship. Being made in God's image, God being a Trinity, God is in communion with each member of the Trinity. That's one of the traits that we do have. So it doesn't surprise me, mammals, especially because those are the ones that we use the most for our purposes. We use animals like cats, dogs, for example, for personal companionship. We use other animals for work, like cows and horses and things like that for working. So it doesn't surprise me that they would be able to relate, or that we would all be able to relate with one another. It also creates an empathy on our part for them, so that we're less likely to abuse them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. Joe, well, you've heard what John and I have been speaking about. What are your thoughts about it?
Now, just the whole deal, or what the initial question you asked him?
Your take completely on everything I've said, what John said. What do you think?
Well, I've always looked at the verse similar, even when I, you know, again, growing up in the South with a very religious, you know, traditional Southern family, you do go to church.
Yeah.
I've always looked at it similarly to what John has said. And honestly, at this current point, I don't find anything greatly I disagree with. Whenever I've read it and I've thought about it, if you put yourself in the mindset of a religious person, of a believer, it does read as if he is saying, you know, he has created these people, these beings, they are good. And if you look at it, how most theists look at it, any sort of other animal that isn't human, they are meant for companionship. They're meant to be used by mankind, not necessarily to be abused. But most theists take it as God put these things in place to be used and utilized however mankind so chose.
I'll actually take that as a fair point. Would you also, John? You know,
yeah, I think that sounds good. I mean, that's certainly the most charitable way to look at it. I don't think anybody's for abusing animals. I mean, most sane people aren't for abusing animals, but I think that, you know, God giving us dominion over the world, I think, can be misunderstood by some people critical of the view to mean that we could just do whatever we feel like, you know, good, bad, or indifferent with impunity. And I don't think that that's in any way how it was meant.
Well, I actually, and just to finish this point up, I believe in the Bible it pretty much states that we should be stewards of the earth. You know, we're supposed to be the people that actually are going to be giving this earth to our future generations.
Of course, of course. And to abuse what God's given us, I think, would be completely to mishandle the resource.
Yeah. All right. Well, Joe, if you'd like, go on to the next verse.
Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. God made the beast of the earth after their kind, and the cattle came after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw that all he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Okay. The first thing I'm going to do is do the normal stoner joke. dude, he said, "Give us all of the herbs." What was I saying?
Yeah, there's always one.
I know. I had to get that out of the way. Now, I'm not trying to point out fallacies, but in the Bible it says, and I know that you probably have an answer for this. So I know you have an answer for this. It says, "Let us make man in our," in quotation marks,
mm-hmm,
"image."
Right.
Why is it ours?
Well, God's a Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit.
Well, no. Hold on now. Jesus wasn't born at the same time as Adam and Eve, so there's...
No, but Jesus was always pre-existent with the Father and the Spirit. I mean, that's in the New Testament explicitly stated. Jesus, as the Son, only began to exist as a human being, you know, in New Testament times, but Jesus as the... as the Son has always been pre-existent. I mean, he said before Abraham was, I am. He's referring to himself. He's referring to himself as the I am, the eternal God. So that's not really, that's not an issue.
Okay. Just kind of pointing that out, you know. Any questions there, Joe?
I guess I need a clarification because we didn't do it in the pre-show. Okay. I've noticed in my experience that there are certain breeds of Christian or just theists in general, those that believe Jesus as God's Son was his own separate entity, and those that, you know, go by the book and follow it and believe more that Jesus was God himself, again, you know, in just human form. And so I just would ask for you to clarify your belief on that.
Yeah, I'd say I'm an Orthodox Trinitarian. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's basically three who's, one what. I'm not a modalist. I don't believe that there's God who manifests himself as the Father at one point, manifests himself as the Spirit and the Son at other points. It's three eternal persons of the Godhead.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that, because sometimes as we continue along, I felt like it might get confusing if I didn't clarify.
Oh, absolutely.
One thing that I would like to ask you, John, is and this is something that I was hoping that you could explain to me. Is God outside of time?
Let's see. This is a fun one. All right. So, before the creation, there is no time whatsoever to even talk about. It's like asking what was before blue, or what color is the number two, right? It doesn't make sense. Before there was creation, so there is no time. So before the creation,
all that I get.
Right. Okay. So before that point, I don't think you could say that God is outside of time, because time doesn't really exist. God being God post-creation is inside of time in that he's participating. I mean, he's in, I don't see how, I know I hear a lot, you know, God's outside of time, he's outside of this, he's, I don't think that limits God to say that he's in time, because he acts within time. Time is just a measurement of change. And if God exists within the universe is changing. So I guess technically he is in time, but I don't necessarily think he would be restrained by time if there was something that was his prerogative to intervene with. Does that make sense?
Sort of. The one, and again, I'm not trying to stump you or put you on the spot or anything. One of the reasons why I can't, in my perspective, I can't find God to be real, and I know that's offensive. I just, why would he care if it's all the same? If he's outside of time, why would he care? You know, everything's always the same. If you're outside of time, there's every moment in time is exactly the same to someone that is outside of time. I'm not trying to insult or put you on the spot or anything. It's just it's hard to wrap your brain around being outside of time.
Well, I don't know necessarily, you know, what significance inside or outside of time has on it.
Well, I'm coming from someone who has, you know, a little bit of physics background. You know, I'm not a physicist, but I, you know, that's one of my hobbies. But to say outside of time, pretty much, to me, in my understanding, it's pointless. There's no moving forward. There can't be moving forward if you don't have time.
Right, yeah. If you don't have time, there's no movement, there's no change. But I don't see what that matters. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what kind of stock you're putting in that. So as politely as possible, so what? You know what I mean? Like, so what if he is outside of time? I mean, what does that do for the situation? So what?
Good question. That's an awesome question that I think many, many more people smarter and versed in it than us can answer or try to answer. You know?
Joe, how does that relate for you, because you're what I would call a skeptic, right? I generally, if I can, I stay away from atheist and agnostic and this and that, but I'd say you're skeptical to theism. So would that be something that sits on you, whether or not God is or is not in time? Does that have any significance theologically?
Theologically?
I can't
understand how it could possibly happen. That's going on to the, you know, the outside of the universe question. What's outside of the universe? I don't know. That's the reason why I'm agnostic. I don't know what happens outside of the universe because I can't imagine what goes on outside of the universe. That's the reason why I'm agnostic. If you were to ask me what my viewpoint of outside of the universe is, I don't know.
Okay, I mean, that's legitimate. I mean, if you're willing to say you don't know, as opposed to, well, I don't see it, therefore, I'm going to take the negative position, because I know I run into a lot of skeptics who will say, well, you know what, I really don't know what's out there, therefore atheism. You know what I mean? And it's actually refreshing to hear somebody say, you know what, I don't know, and I'm just going to leave it at I'm not sure, and we'll see what happens.
Joe, did you have a point about this topic?
Well, yes, I had several. And first, I'd like to address that I feel like that's true for both skeptics and believers, that it's either I don't have an answer for it, so therefore God or Allah or Yahweh or Jehovah, or whatever you may choose as your deity. And then often for skeptics is like, you know, I don't have any other, you know, I can't explain this, but I don't want to believe, so skepticism. So I completely understand your point. As far as the whole time issue goes, I don't know, when it comes to theological issues, I've always felt like time is something that's often ignored, because it can be a very confusing thing, especially how varied, depending on what branch, or, you know, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Catholic, etc., that you believe in, how you feel about God sitting in. Personally, the way I was taught and the way that I know people in my family were taught, God was the never-ending energy. So it wasn't necessarily him being in time or him being out of time. He simply was. He was time. He was the energy. He was time. He was space. He was that energy. And so when I hear different opinions, it's always great to hear different opinions about it, because, again, that's how I was taught personally. Does it necessarily mean anything in my approach to theology, maybe in how I discuss it and discuss time in relation to it? But as far as my skepticism, not really. I mean, as a skeptic, whether God's in time, out of time, is time, there is no time. It has nothing to do with what I do or do not believe. because my thoughts on time are based in physics and science and things of that nature.
Yeah, I find that a lot of Christians who are very defensive of the God is outside of time thing, I think they believe they lose something if they say that God is in time or acting in time. But I mean, when you get right down to it, to reiterate, it's time is just a measurement of change. God exists in the universe that we're in, and unless you want to say God is so far out of the universe that he's non-existent in the universe, which you can't offer that as a theist. You can't say that God is not in this universe. You have to deal with that. The only way to say that God is outside of time is to say he's completely outside this universe in some changeless state. And I don't think that they're willing to admit that.
You know, I'm actually glad that you, for one person, at least you as an apologist, and I hate to say that word, I know the A word is bad, I'm actually glad that you're admitting that God, if he exists, can't be outside of time. Because if you're outside of time, what's the point? Now I will admit, I know what you're going to say, that he can adjust time, he can go back and forth, but he can't be outside of time. So I'm really glad that you admitted to that at the very least.
Well, yeah, I just don't think that you lose anything by having God in time, that's all.
Well, no, I completely agree. That's what I'm saying, is why don't we finally admit that he has to be inside of time, whether he can move it back and forth, whatever or however he wants, why can't he be inside time? Because if you're not inside of time, what's the point? there's nothing to motivate you. Okay. Hey, Joe.
One quick point is, I think the major malfunction or the major issue we get into when we're speaking of majority of religions and time is we come to the quandary that if we're talking about a singular God, right, or even multiple gods, if they can do anything, then, and I mean anything they so choose, then theoretically they could pull themselves out of time. By saying they have to be in time, we now set rules for the beings that should never, in our minds, have rules, you know? And so we come to a little moral quandary.
Well, no, I don't think that, for example, I don't think that God can do anything. I mean, there are restrictions. I mean, God can't lie. God can't violate his own nature. He can't make
God,
a married bachelor.
God can't lie. God can't lie.
Right. God can't. Listen. We can get there. We'll get there. But you can't have God violating the laws of logic. I mean, those aren't things that are just invented and imposed. I mean, you can't make a married bachelor. By definition, it doesn't exist. Square circles, by definition, don't exist. So you can't make things.
That explains a lot.
You can't say. I don't remember even what my example was going to be, but just in response, I don't think you could just do anything just because you're a god.
Well, thank you for that, because most of the theists that I deal with generally feel the opposite. You feel like because you are a god, or obviously Christians or anyone that believes in Yahweh Allah, the religions of the book, they tend to feel like God can do anything, and that's just been the default position for most of the theists that I've met in my life.
And that's one of the reasons why John is part of the conversation, Joe, is because he is actually willing to let some logical things go whenever you getting to a point where you're logically right. He lets, okay, And then he also expects it from us also, which we've done also, or at least I have in the past. But just so we can move the conversation forward.
Are you a substance dualist or are you a physicalist when it comes to the soul?
Explain exactly what you mean.
Okay. Physicalist, like, do we have a soul? In your opinion.
Do I think we do? Or
I don't know. I think that's a bit of a confusing question because I do follow certain laws of science. And again, matter cannot be created or destroyed. What I consider a soul is just necessarily just the consciousness. That's what I think most people get confused with. Our idea of a soul is just our consciousness. Now, where exactly that comes from, I would just take a shot in the dark and say the brain. What area and the process around that, I'm willing to wash my hands and say I don't know. People smarter than me, much older, much wiser.
Oh, that's good. That's a good thing I'm here then. So, a substance dualist would be somebody who would believe that we are not necessarily just the sum of our physical parts, but we are. Okay, so who said? I think it was C.S. Lewis. We don't have a soul. We are a soul and have a body. That would be more along the lines of a substance dualist.
So you're a dualist, essentially.
I would be, yeah.
Now, what I would actually ask you, and again, you know, I'm not a physicist, but I'm a physicist or a physical nerd. How?
What do you mean?
I know the strong force, the weak force, gravity, the other, the electro weak force. What does it interact with?
Well, we interact with the entire world around us. Our soul is most directly interacted with our body. Right? And I think we all know that from experience, and our body is not our soul. So, but for example, you know, we're not identical with our body. So, for example, you would still be Jonathan, even if your hand were cut off in some horrible accident. You don't mistake yourself for being somebody else. You don't lose any of who you are. Your essence, your personness by body. You'd agree with that, right?
No, I wouldn't, because I would be Jonathan without an arm.
No, I understand that your body would be different, but you would still be Jonathan.
You're talking about my consciousness. Now, okay, let's go to...
talking about your essence.
About me, yes, about Jonathan. Yeah. What happens when I die, then?
Well, what happens to you and what happens to me are two totally different things.
No. I know. What happens when I die?
Well, I think you're
we're both going to be going to, in your presuppositionalist viewpoint.
I'm not a presuppositionalist, by the way.
Okay. I don't mean to put words in your mouth.
No, that's right.
What's going to happen to me when I die?
Well, once we die, our soul leaves our body, and from there, we go to judgment, and it goes from there. The soul, I believe, is eternally forward. So,
what do you mean by internally forward? I'm sorry.
Right.
I don't know the term, so I'm not.
That's all right.
Interrupt. I'm just asking for, you know, terminology.
That's right. So for example, God is eternal in both directions. He didn't have a beginning, right? So he had no beginning. There's no end. He's eternal. So
just so you know, I should have mentioned that back whenever we were talking about, you know, why is God you know, outside of time. You should have mentioned that. Just saying. I'm not trying. Again, I'm not trying okay. to. But just, you know.
No, I. Either way, neither here nor there. So ours, our souls are eternal, but only in the forward going direction. So we our souls, our bodies, we began to exist when we're conceived. That's when we are who we are, and then we move forward eternally, as opposed to in both directions like God.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Continue on with your initial. What happens to me after I die?
Well, it's the same thing that happens to me. Our bodies cease. They, you know, our bodies die, and then our souls move on to whatever it is that God has staged, the judgment, where we account for everything that we've done, and then we go from there.
Well, Joe, do you have anything to say before I continue? You know, go ahead, man. Come on, you're the guest host. You gotta say something.
No, again, I understand his original point, when he said, obviously, if you got your, you know, your hand cut off in some terrible accident, you would still be Jonathan. You would still be who you are. Again, as I stated before, I think the issue we have is when people confuse the consciousness that comes with, I believe, all sentient, all living beings, with the concept of the soul. The soul is... as you know, stated before, it's this thing. It is who you are. It is when you die, you're alive. It is you. Your body. You know, the main thought is your body is simply a vessel for your soul. But with our consciousness, body and soul, we couldn't have a consciousness if we didn't have a brain, and we couldn't have a brain at current stage in science unless we had a body. These things are inseparable. However. It is not a soul. It is not something that can be weighed and judged. Your consciousness necessarily doesn't mean that, you know, doesn't necessarily denote who you are or how you shall be weighed by the Most High in whatever religion you follow.
I will actually, since you've actually said this.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
What was that last thing you said, Joe?
What, the very last?
Yeah, just your very, very last point.
I said your consciousness, unlike what the concept of the soul is, does not denote how you shall be judged by the Most High of whatever faith you believe in.
Yeah, that's where I know that's where you're about to, to stick the sword at, if you will. Go ahead, John.
All right, so would you say, Joe... And Jonathan, that
no,
your consciousness is different from your soul.
No,
are you saying that those are two different things, or are we using those semi synonymously?
Before Joe comments, I'll say no, they're one and the same. But I'll let Joe speak for himself.
I just want to be on the same page.
As far as my current belief, I believe that. It's more necessarily a bit of confusion. You know, it's just like religion. We used religion when we were in our earlier stages as a species to try to explain things that at that time we could not explain. We did not have the scientific method. We could not explain these things. So to explain how we're weighed and what happens to us after we die, we needed a soul. You know, we need to create a soul, because if we die and then we cease to exist, what are we weighed by? What makes us? And I feel that what makes human beings, as you said, you know, Jonathan got his arm cut off, he'd still be Jonathan. That is just his consciousness. People, theists, often I feel like there's been a bit of confusion that's just gone unchecked, where people confuse consciousness for the concept of the soul. And though in many ways they are similar, I do not believe they are the same.
Okay, that's fine that you don't think that they're the same. I mean, I just want to make sure that we're, you know, when we're using words that kind of sound like we're talking about the same thing, I just want to make sure we're all talking about the same things. So earlier I think you said something about the brain and the consciousness are basically the same. Do I have that right?
I think he's addressing me, and yes, I do think the brain, or the consciousness, is what the brain is, and if you change the brain, you change the consciousness. I don't know how you can deny that. You know, I can. Surgeons or neurologists today can literally go inside your brain, change things, and make you experience things. If we aren't our brain, we aren't our consciousness.
Well, so the only issue that I would have with that is that doesn't seem to be an issue of identity. So, for example, if you have two different things, you're talking about two different things, say the consciousness or the soul and the brain. If there's one thing that's true of one that's not true of the other, then they're not the same thing. Right, so I think more along the lines of what you're describing is causality or correlation, that just because, you know, things can be done manipulating the brain, that would also manipulate our consciousness. I don't think that you can make the leap that because there is a correlation or causation that you have demonstrated that they're the same thing.
Actually, I can, because I don't know if you've ever had, and I don't mean to say this as an insult, ever had a relative that has had Alzheimer's disease. That is demonstrably a brain disease. They are not in any way, shape, or form the same person that you knew in your past. In no way. And it is, like I said, it's demonstrably shown that Alzheimer's disease is a prion that has gone inside their mind, and or inside their brain, excuse me, and has spongified, and that's actually a literal term, spongified their brain, and it has caused them to not be the person you used to know. I've seen it before, and I've read the papers on it. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit emotional, but yes, the brain is the person. Now, if I had a heart attack right now, and I knew, if the person that passed away in my past that had Alzheimer's is in heaven, is the same way that they were,
Well, I'm not saying that the brain isn't a vehicle. What I'm saying is that they're not identical. Just because, you know, the brain can be manipulated or the brain can get diseased doesn't mean that the brain is the same as the person or the soul. It's like the person driving the car. The person inside the car is driving the car. It doesn't mean that the person is the car, but if that person is in there and something happens to either the car person, there's going to be an interruption between both of them. And because there are things that are true about the brain that are not true about, is not true of the mind or the consciousness, then I don't think that you could say that they're identical. And when you have something like Alzheimer's, I agree that certainly does cause people to change. It causes them to mentally degenerate. But I don't think that you could say that the brain is the person. What you have is the brain being altered and it affecting the person.
Okay. I'll leave that where it is. Hey, Joe, did you have something to say?
As another person who has I still am watching the effects of Alzheimer's, I feel to a degree what you said, Jonathan, is correct, that they aren't the same person. It's not to say that, you know, they all together switched up and changed. I feel like Alzheimer's is like the puzzle's put together, and then out of nowhere you start taking out pieces, throwing it in the box and shaking it up. Essentially, if you were ever able to piece together the puzzle again, to piece together who that person was, they would be the same person. Unfortunately, Alzheimer's, every puzzle piece it takes out, it just screws it up. And I believe I understand where John is coming from when he states that, you know, they are the same, because from what my belief is and what I understand, the soul is supposed to be what the word John has used, the essence of the person. That means regardless of whatever change in emotion, whatever change in habits or whatever, this is how that person was from jump. So from jump till they die, that is what that person is.
You know what, Joe? I think that was the perfect analogy that you just gave. The picture of a puzzle taking piece out by piece out. Now let me just say what I was going to say here. The reason that's perfect is because is the vehicle in which, once you put that together, now we can experience the picture, right? So you have the brain is the puzzle, our soul is the picture on the puzzle. They're not the same. However, you do need one in order to see the other. And affecting one, you are going to necessarily affect the other. So it's causality and correlation, but it isn't identity, because those two aren't the same. And I think that was actually a perfect picture, and I appreciate that. Thanks.
Well, gentlemen, I would like to thank you, Joe, for sitting in on the conversation today. Hopefully we'll have you again sometime in the future. You're always welcome. And then John, you know, very cool. You know, we'll always be having this conversation, I think. In the background lurking, like he always is, and creepy, is Robert. So I would like to, Joe, what do you have going on? This is your plug, man. This is the reason why you came on here. Come on, plug your
shameless
stuff.
Promotion.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I have a few things. I call it, excuse me, my believer friend, I call it the Godless Collection on my clothing line, Blood Diamond Co. I'll make sure, you know, send you guys the link.
I don't think it's offended.
I hope not. All proceeds go towards really just helping me. I want to be in a position one day to help young skeptics, atheists, heathens, whatever they choose to be called. And, at some point, build an organization that's not the American Atheist Association that promotes positivity, unity, and help for young atheists, because oftentimes, you know, it isn't talked about, but just as the LGBT community, we have a lot of young people who are kicked out, they're homeless, so are atheists. I've come very close to being kicked out of many of a place simply because I was skeptical of someone's beliefs. And so I feel like that's a situation we cannot allow to stand anymore. We want to come together as a community and help each other. I also will be going back and regularly doing my podcast, the Reverend Meadows podcast, on my channel. Link will also be in the description. And there, you know, I would love to have you guys on. You guys are always welcome, including you, John. And
there wasn't much confidence. That was definitely a consolation.
Hey, don't worry. My producer is Satanist. It's cool. You can come. Oh, yeah, that'll be great. It's theistic Satanist, that. But I would love to have you guys on and have a great conversation. We are also going to have more content. And, I do graphic art. So if someone needs, cover art for a YouTube channel, a lot of times, depending on what your finances are, I work with you. So if you're just starting up, I'll do something for cheap or for free. And, I really want to help and give back to the community. All those links will be down there, my email, this, that, and the other. And, just hit me up, buy some stuff. Thanks for letting me have a shameless plug.
And with that, I would like to say thank you, Joe. Thank you, John, Robert, creepy person in the background that does stuff. Creepy. Yeah. Thank you all for joining us here on the Atheist podcast. And please, Joe's stuff will be in the show notes, I promise. Thank you for actually joining us today. And that's it for tonight, folks. I'd like to thank John, George, and of course, all of you for joining in on the conversation. Please make sure to like us on Facebook. You can find the links to our page and all of the other associated websites in the show notes. We're now live on iTunes. If you like us, please give us a rating, maybe even a good review. That always helps. If you want to support the show and any of the other projects associated with Rationality Unleashed Media, please feel free to donate via our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/rationalityunleashed. Because we post quite a bit of content, please make sure you set a monthly maximum if you don't want to go over a certain budget. If you want to make a one-time donation to RU Media, please use our GoFundMe page at www.gofundme.com/RU Media. Your support helps us with all of the hosting costs, equipment, and all of the other costs associated with producing quality content across platforms. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for tuning in, and have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the Atheist Podcast, a production of Rationality Unleashed Media, rationalityunleashed.net, or you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/rationalityunleashed.